time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, good morning. Welcome to The Breakfast Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's, we'll turn that down. Big week. You've had a big week. You've been, even though you're quite along in the pregnancy now, you're out of plenty of events and getting to plenty of places.
Clark's called me a pregasaurus.
A pregasaurus. Oh, very nice. All right, just you'll batter him with sleeplessness.
At this point.
You'll be able to batter him with sleeplessness for the next couple of years. So,
yeah. That's exactly right.
Tell him I said sucked
Someone
in.
Someone else will have the last laugh.
Yeah, tell him I said sucked in. Hey, so let's talk about very quickly. Talk about the Chinese Business Summit and the education conference that you attended this week, because those are two very important topics in the country at the moment. Chinese business. Yay, nay, what are we up to? Do we need to be worried? Do we need to be wary? Do we need to pander to them? Do we need to...
I think we've tried pretty consistent, you know, principles for all of our engagements, regardless of who it is. When you think back, in the 1970s, when we really started first that kind of strong diplomatic engagement with China, our exports at that point were worth about 1.7 million. So it's changed a lot. They're now our biggest relationship in that regard, but we still apply the same principles. You know, we follow the rule of law. You know, trade rules and the agreements that we have are really important to us. And we apply that same approach to every foreign relationship that we have, and China's no different. But it is particularly important to us now, given the people-to-people exchanges with export education, but also trade.
Yeah, and I just as an aside there, just with the comments from Donald Trump and the US government about our freeloading their pharmaceutical companies. Speaking of trade agreements, good guys.
The frustration there, of course, is that, you know, look, we use Pharmac because that's a way, you know, the United States has some of the most expensive, pharmaceutical products and exist in the world. We've managed to get ours down by having basically a bulk purchase model on behalf of New Zealand so that we negotiate on mass for our pharmaceutical needs.
It really is one of New Zealand's biggest success stories, Pharmac, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it is really important.
On the whole, you know?
I'd say something like ACC as well. Unlike the United States, don't have that litigious approach as well. So those are important to us. And so we, for the CPTPP, that was something we fought hard to protect, and we would do in any trade agreement. It's important. And so this idea that we're somehow freeloading, that's not the case, and it's not a fair accusation.
And shut up anyway, because you're making so much money, pharmaceutical companies in the United States of America. Unbelievable amounts of profit.
They do billions and billions
of profit every quarter.
And there's no question that it costs R&D costs. But when you look at, for instance, I think it was one of the hepatitis drugs, I was looking at the difference between the cost of developing that drug and the, you know, the price point then was $100,000, I think it was, for its use, and then the amount of profit that those companies are making is still way out of kilter with even the R&D development.
And the education conference would have been very timely with the budget coming up. I guess there's a lot of expectation on the government for education and to keep everything afloat and steer us on the right course and look after the kids, because remember, that's what you guys said you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've started is this, you know, yes, we need to make sure that we are properly funding the system that we have, and we'll say more about that on Thursday. But when you look at just where we're at right now, you know, we've of the view that we're probably over-assessing kids, that we need to make sure the education system, you know, which has a great curriculum for the most part, is keeping pace with all of the changes that are going on around us. And so we started this thing called the Education Conversation. We've invited everyone to participate. We've had thousands of people participate online, and anyone can. And then we've had largely in Christchurch and Auckland. I went to the Auckland one. There were hundreds of people there, and it was amazing because everyone was equal, and you had academics sitting alongside students participating, right. And it was great.
And now, what were the big concerns? Wages, living costs, especially in Auckland, I guess.
So if they're around education, or just, I mean,
the things that you sort of gleaned from that collective.
Yeah, actually, most of it was focused on what should our education system look like in 30 years' time, and is it fit for purpose?
This is the problem. This is the problem with the education system. They really do care. The people that work in it, most of them, you know?
Yeah, and that was the focus. It wasn't about any of the terms and conditions for teachers. It was just how do we make the best system we can and be world-leading educators, and that was great. We know we've got other challenges we do need to resolve. We will have a pay negotiation. We do have a pay negotiation to undertake with the teachers, as we do with nurses now, police. We've had issues with mental health workers, teacher aides. There's a long list. But for these hui, they were really focused on just the quality of the system.
You mentioned mental health workers then. You and I talked before the election, in the lead up to the election, about just how important it was to change the focus and to support the mental health.
Yes.
Support mental health in this country. Yes. It must be about time now that, I know we've talked about this before, but it must be about time now where we have to really start casting the net for potential counsellors, you know, to start training up counsellors and such. Because as we realise that anxiety and stress are behind so many of modern people's problems.
Yeah,
you know.
And that is the workforce is an issue, because some of the things that we've wanted to propose, I've then had people come to me and say, you do know that that's going to take several years to build up your workforce to be able to achieve that thing.
Yeah,
so we've had to be creative. For instance, in Christchurch around Canterbury and Kaikoura, where we've wanted to put in as a starting point mental health support for children at primary school level, we've used a mixture of professionals, but all of them totally relevant. So I hadn't even thought about the fact that people trained in as occupational therapists would actually have a real impact too, because they're coming in and saying, well, actually there's issues with this, with the level of noise in this room, or even the lights, things that are triggers for kids. They have something to offer for us to improve the environment for kids alongside those other mental health professionals. So bringing in a whole group helps us be able to deal with it while we're trying to build up our workforce.
Are we going to see, an 0800 new cops or better work stories thing for the mental health industry?
And it is across the board what we need, you know, clinical psychologists, psychiatrists, people who work in counselling, youth workers. Nurses often play a role early on as well. So a whole range, yeah.
And finally, the inequality survey that's come up, it's only about Auckland, but it is the biggest, it's the most populated isthmus in the world probably. But it's not good news, is it? And something that I know that your party have been rallying against when you're in opposition. And now you're in the government. You have to be concerned about it, and especially when you want people to come in.
Absolutely.
We want more people to come to Auckland. We want Auckland to become a bustling city, so we can all pay our petrol tax, and we can all get jobs. You know, like in the future, when it's all going to be wonderful. But I mean, it's very worrying, isn't it? The inequality survey. The wider that gap gets between rich and poor, the more
and it affects everyone.
Social issues there are.
Yeah, and it affects everyone. You're absolutely right. You just pay for inequality in different ways. And so one of the things we know that we can do is, you know, look at that widening gap in incomes. We do need higher wages. We've lifted the minimum wage in April. That was the first of a number of steps, and we've said we'll keep increasing it till it reaches $20. We've also adjusted working for families. So those with kids, you know, on average, by the time that full package comes in, 380 plus thousand families will be on average better off by $75 a week. That's a big difference on a weekly basis for families. You know, we also want to bring down the cost of healthcare for those lower income families, improve housing costs, even getting rid of things like letting fees, improve public transport as a cheaper option. All of those things make a difference. And so, I think we've moved pretty quickly to try and break the back of something which is an issue that affects everyone ultimately.
The how long to you knock off?
Oh, so I'm going right up until, so I'm due on the 17th of June. I'll be working right up till that week. I'll be down here in Wellington. And then I go back to Auckland and keep working while I wait.
That's the spirit.
I don't knock off for another 4.5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't know it looking at me.
Well, really? Are you feeling all right?
I feel absolutely
wonderful.
Fine. A little bit of, the range of options for my shoes have been drastically reduced, but that's a minor issue.
Right,
I am currently wearing slippers in the office.
Fair enough to you, the Prime Minister. All right, hey, thanks very much, Jacinda. Speak to you again next week then.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.